Well, please turn in God's Word now to the book of Hebrews and chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 on page 1213 in the church Bibles. I want us to think today about how we as a congregation respond to the loss of the beloved former pastor of this church. Ted Donnelly was known and loved and appreciated all over the world, but nowhere more than here in Trinity. Ted and Lorna came to Trinity in 1974 when Ted was called by a small handful of families who took the courageous decision to relocate the congregation from Trinity Street in Belfast to the growing suburbs of Newton Abbey. And that was really a dream team, an ideal combination of a gifted preacher and a highly committed and loving group of families with faith and the vision to try anything, to ask great things of God and to attempt great things for God. And the work, you all know, don't need me to tell you, the work prospered under God's blessing as Ted's preaching and the warmth of a loving fellowship drew in more and more people over the years. Ted was the pastor here for 35 years with a 3-year hiatus in the middle when he served as the pastor of Portrush. His ministry was sought after throughout the United Kingdom and then in other parts of the world, in particular in the United States. But I remember hearing him say to a very, very large conference, a conference of 600 or 700 people, "I've always made it my goal, wherever I preach in the world, to preach as if to my own congregation." Trinity was his first love. This was where he poured out his best strength and labour. And that ministry came to an abrupt end, of course, in 2010 when he suddenly fell ill with encephalitis. And we thought that his life was over then, 13 years ago, never mind his ministry. And yet the Lord gave him a remarkable level of recovery so that he was able to preach again, here especially, where he loved to preach most of all. But even at the Banner of Truth Ministers Conference and in Trinity Baptist Church in New Jersey, and just until a couple of years ago, he was able to share teaching responsibilities with me 50-50 at the Reformed Theological College on Tuesday mornings. He was never again 100%, but Ted Donnelly, even at 50%, is better than most of the rest of us at 100%. Some of you who have joined the congregation inside those last 13 years, you didn't have the blessing and the joy of knowing Ted Donnelly as your pastor. Most of you younger children didn't really get to know him at all. It was a great blessing and privilege to have him as the pastor of this congregation. Many of you did know him as your pastor. Some of you for that whole time, for many, many years. And that is something to give thanks to God for, as I know you do. But it is also a great responsibility. You remember the words of the Lord Jesus: "Much is expected from those to whom much has been given." And Trinity Congregation over those 35 years was given so much by the Lord, so much more than so many congregations. It's the kind of thing that you don't really appreciate while you're living under it. It's not until you go away and sit under a different ministry that you realize just what a blessing Ted's ministry was. Trinity has been unusually blessed, and much is expected from those to whom much has been given. So how should you, the congregation here, respond to his passing? Because there is a special duty incumbent upon Trinity that is not the same for any other place where Ted ministered over the years. And that's what I want us to think about this morning and this evening. And I want us to do that by looking together at Hebrews 13 verse 7. Hebrews 13 verse 7. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. This is the ideal verse, I think, for today, for us here. It's not a text to preach at a funeral service. It's a text for the congregation where Ted pastored for so long. This verse is written about church leaders who have died, or I suppose I should say they've fallen asleep. Verse 17 of this chapter tells us what our attitude should be to our current leaders. But verse 7 is about those like Ted who have gone to glory. And I want us to think about the three things that this verse tells us to do. First of all, the only thing that we'll think about this morning, we are to remember. We are to remember. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. And the tense of this verb means keep on remembering. Don't forget them. Obviously, we need to be exhorted to do this. Otherwise, this verse wouldn't be here. It's possible that we might forget our leaders who spoke the word of God to us. We think we won't on a day like today. We think we never will, but life is busy. And time moves on and we get preoccupied and distracted by other things. And so God says to us today in Trinity, remember your leaders. But how do we remember them? Not by idolizing them. Not by idealizing them either. That's always a temptation. To look back and say, well, there were never any problems in Trinity in the good old days. Ted always did everything perfectly. He never made any mistakes. If only we could go back to then. That's not what the text means by remembering them. We're not to idolize them. We're not to idealize them. Remembering them doesn't mean pining for them and wishing them back when the Lord has taken them. Remembering past leaders doesn't mean refusing to move on and accept new leaders. And I'm glad to be able to say as the successor to Ted that that hasn't been my experience. That does happen in some places. Especially if the new leaders don't have the same gifts as their predecessors, which is certainly the case as far as I'm concerned. And this may well have been an issue in the church that this letter was written to. The previous leaders of this congregation may well have been apostles. It's bad enough coming after Ted Donnelly. Can you imagine coming after Peter or John or Paul? What does the writer say about current leaders? Verse 17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. So remembering our leaders doesn't mean pining for them or wishing them back or refusing to let anyone else lead after them. No, as the verse goes on to explain, the whole point of remembering former leaders is not so that you'll stay stuck in the past or trying to recreate the Trinity of 20 years ago or 30 years ago. That's not the point. That's not why you remember your former leaders. It's to make you better Christians in the present. It's to make you more useful, more devoted, more obedient church members now. And that's why this letter was written in the first place. It was written to Jewish Christians who were tempted to give up on following Christ and go back to Judaism. And so the whole letter is crammed full of reasons and motivations not to do that. And this verse is another incentive to stick with Jesus Christ because of all that your former leaders taught you, because of all that they were to you, because of all the labour that they poured into you, because of the kind of men that they were, because of how they spent themselves on your behalf in the past. As you think about the countless hours that they poured out for your good, the writer says, don't turn your back on that. Does that not count for something? Does that not help to keep you on the right path? Remember your leaders so that you will keep going in the present. And in particular, the writer says, remember your former leaders for their preaching. In the original language, that's emphasized. This is the distinguishing mark of these leaders. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Of course, they did all kinds of other things for their congregation. They set aside many hours to pray for their people. And they showed them love and practical concern in hundreds of ways. But above all, first and foremost, they spoke the word of God to them. They spoke it from the pulpit. They spoke it from house to house. They spoke it in small groups. They spoke it one to one. They spoke it in season and out of season, on hard days like today, and on days when it was an easy and a delightful thing to do. Remember your pastors who spoke to you the word of God, who preached the Bible to you. And how we who sat under Ted's preaching should remember him for it with deep gratitude to God. How often we sat here in these pews and heard him preach on a passage, and suddenly it was so clear and so obvious and so compelling that we wondered how we possibly missed it before. How many times did this room become a kind of Bethel for us, the house of God, when we encountered the living God here in the glory of his word preached? How many times we were challenged and rebuked from this pulpit, and comforted and encouraged and stretched in our understanding and stretched and searched in our consciences, very often all within the same sermon. How often we were conscious of the Holy Spirit meeting with us and dealing with us through the faithful, powerful preaching of the Word of God. Ted's health, as you know, was poor for many years, long before the encephalitis. He developed ME in the early 90s, a very, very debilitating condition that sapped so much of his strength. And he had to measure out his energy carefully. He couldn't do everything that he wanted to do, and so he focused his energy especially on the pulpit ministry, in the study and preaching. And I know that there were many times that he went into this pulpit exhausted, in pain and great weakness, and yet he didn't spare himself in preaching. There were occasions that I saw him before and I saw him afterwards, and I thought, there is no way that this man is going to be able to preach today. And he did. He poured himself, heart and soul, and all of his talents into preaching. He gave of himself sacrificially and unstintingly. The last Sabbath morning sermon that he preached before he was struck down with encephalitis in October 2010. In that sermon, he spoke about the supreme priority of preaching in his ministry. He was preaching in Acts chapter 6, and he didn't know that his preaching ministry, for all intents and purposes, was about to come to an end, never to be the same again. But this is what he said. He made a rare personal reference to the toll that it had taken on him. Ted didn't often mention himself in this kind of way in a sermon. It's an unusual providence that in this sermon on this day he did. He said, over 35 years ago, most of you were not here at that time, the ruling elders asked me to concentrate on preaching because we believed that the word is what by the blessing of the Spirit grows the church. And the main thing is that the main thing remains the main thing. Ted probably put that slightly better. At that point, he said, there were about 20 people. There was no building of our own. The future was uncertain. He said, I have numerous failures as a minister, but I don't think that I have ever come into the pulpit inadequately prepared. Then he said, only my wife knows what these sermons have cost me. Blood, toil, tears, and sweat. And that was not rhetorical exaggeration. Obviously, I didn't know him as well as Lorna does, but I could see that as well. I think we were all conscious that this was a man who poured himself into the ministry of God's word. He used to, on occasion, admit publicly that he grew impatient in later years with much of the routine administrative work of church life. He did get a bit fed up with a multiplicity of meetings, but never the preaching. He said, never the preaching. It is always the most important, glorious work that any man could be called to do. We remember Ted today as a congregation with deep gratitude to God for giving to us the blessing of such an outstandingly gifted preacher of the Word of God for 35 years in this place. Is it any wonder that so many men were called to be ministers of the Word from Trinity as a result of sitting under his ministry? After years of hearing and seeing such a shining example of what a minister of the gospel is. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. We remember him with great thankfulness to God for his preaching. But let me challenge you. Let me exhort us all who sat under his preaching to remember the preaching itself. What did he say? Don't just be a hearer of his words, but a doer of them. And that is a searching challenge, isn't it, to those of you who sat under his preaching and teaching for 10, 20, 30 or more years. What have you done with that treasure trove of riches from God's word that Ted spoke to you each week? Maybe you can remember every series that he ever preached. You can remember the outlines of dozens of sermons. That doesn't surprise me. Maybe you have notebooks with almost a word-for-word transcript of every sermon that you ever heard him preach. You can remember being moved to tears many times as you sat in these pews by the force of the Word of God. You can remember his vivid illustrations and searching applications. I think Stanley was commenting on that this morning in the adult class, thinking about union with Christ. Even now, after all this time, when you read a different passage of Scripture, it's Ted's sermon on that passage that comes to your mind, casting a flood of light on it after all this time. How many of us find ourselves saying over and over again, do you know, I remember a sermon that Ted preached on that text. I remember something Ted said about it. It was very, very helpful. And this is what it was. It's wonderful if you can remember so much so clearly. Give thanks to God. But what are you doing with all that biblical wealth? Does your zeal for the Lord and your personal holiness and your commitment to Christ and his church correspond? Does it keep pace with, does it measure up to all that blessing? Are you today the mature, stable, on fire for the Lord Christian that you ought to be? Because you should be. After all those years under a leader who spoke the word of God to you so powerfully and so clearly and so memorably, remember him who spoke the word of God to you, not with nostalgic longing, not with rose-coloured glasses, but remember him by putting into practice all the things that he preached to us. Some of you didn't have Ted as your pastor, but these words are still relevant for you as well, aren't they? Because we have all had leaders who spoke the word of God to us. Pastors, elders, youth leaders, Sabbath school teachers. Remember them. Remember them with gratitude for speaking the word faithfully to you. Some of you did have Ted as your pastor, but perhaps for all intents and purposes, it's as if you've forgotten him and all he ever taught you. Tragically, there are some who have fallen away from their profession of faith. They no longer come to this church or any other church. There are non-Christians who sat under his ministry and were never converted. I wonder if they have any idea how fearful a thing it will be for them on the day of judgment to have heard week after week some of the finest preaching in the English speaking world, to have listened to it perhaps for 30 years or more and yet to reject it. And perhaps there are others still in our congregation today and they're drifting. And you know perhaps that that's true of you. You're half-hearted in your attendance at worship. You're half-hearted about the prayer meeting and the home groups. Your participation in the life of the church and the work of the church is lackluster at best. Your enthusiasm for outreach has dwindled. You don't have a lot of sacrificial love for your fellow members. You hardly ever show hospitality. All these things were right at the very heart of Ted's preaching for 35 years, and you've forgotten them. We'll spend a lot of time in the coming days, this week especially, remembering Ted Donnelly. And how wonderful it would be, how fitting it would be, if that remembering became a catalyst for a fresh wave of zeal for God's glory. Because this week, this moment, is an opportunity for us as a congregation to rededicate ourselves to the work of Christ in this place where he labored and gave his best strength to building up. There is no better way to honor a preacher of the word than to respond to his preaching and to put it into practice. And that's the challenge for you, for us, the members of Trinity today, whom he led for so many years. As Paul writes about some of the churches that he founded, you are Ted Donnelly's crown of boasting. So let's remember him. Let's remember him with profound thankfulness to God for all that he was and for all that he meant to us as a congregation, as our pastor, as our mentor, as our friend. But let's remember him especially by responding to all that he taught us from the Word and putting it into practice more and more. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do give you praise and thanks for every remembrance of our former pastor and our beloved friend. We thank you for all that Ted Donnelly was to each one of us, what he meant to us collectively as a congregation here in this place that he loved and labored for most of his life. We thank you again for all the gifts and graces that you gave to him for the benefit of the people here and for how willingly and how sacrificially he used those and spent himself on behalf of the hungry here in Trinity. We thank you, Lord God, for this great man, for this outstanding preacher and pastor. But we pray that you will help us to remember him in the right way, and not to trust in princes or in mortal man who cannot save. We thank you, Lord, for this very solemn and sobering reminder that even the greatest of preachers and leaders are only mortal men at the end of the day. We thank you that our comfort and our strength doesn't come from any human being, but from you, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so we look to you, O God, to give to us all that we need, the maker of earth and heaven, the Lord who reigns forever through unending generations. Lord, we give you the praise and the glory, and we pray that you will continue to minister to us, the great shepherd of your sheep. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.